Good morning, Eastern Washington. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to the Battlefront live from Olympia. Our hope is not in man, but in Jesus Christ. We can't end with prayer. We must also move to action. And as Scripture admonishes us, prepare your horse for battle. But the battle is the Lord's, and this, and as we're going to talk about later in the show, is the year for battle. And now from the Frontier Weekly Intelligence Briefing, while on the international front, Secretary John Kerry seems to be hell-bent, literally, on turning Jerusalem over to the Palestinians, or, more likely, at least in my opinion, to an international body. A harbinger? I'll let you decide. On the national front, this global warming is freezing. I mean, are you kidding me? Barack Obama's hometown, minus 45 degrees wind chill? Well, you know, that's what happens when you mock God, I think. And also, it's what happens when facts catch up with your political agenda. Then we have the Grammys. Even the media, even the mainstream media had to admit that there was satanic and occult references during that entire show, which is, I think, well representing of the music industry in general today. But when you have demons and fire going around people on stage, and you have intensely sexual performances, doesn't that harm our kids? I mean, why are they doing that? Well, it's about time we actually walk with our feet and stop buying their music. At least that's my opinion. On the Olympia front, we have a gun hearing today on Initiative 594. That's the gun grab initiative that is being funded from an out-of-state donor. And as could be expected, it's going to be theater. In fact, it's going to be theater across the board. And a lot of people, I think, are fed up with them continuing to try and take away our right to bear arms, our right to keep and bear arms. And this morning, actually, we just found out that Gabby Giffords, the congresswoman who is part of that horrible tragedy down in Arizona, is going to be testifying in favor of that initiative. My question is, wouldn't, instead of spending millions of dollars on a drawn-out initiative fight, wouldn't that money be better spent addressing some mental health issues and problems that we have here in Washington State? On the local front, bikini baristas. Well, that issue is heating up in Spokane Valley, but I just have a simple question. Can't you just screen the coffee stands from the street so 10-year-old girls don't see that? 10-year-old boys don't see that? Because that's what's happening. It just seems that we have lost all decorum, and I hope that the city of Spokane Valley continues to go down the road they're going to zone them out of the main parts of Spokane Valley. And that this morning is the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Once again, I have with me on Battlefront from the 42nd District, Jason Overstreet, and from the 15th District, the bearded one, Representative Dave Taylor. Gentlemen, thanks for joining me on Battlefront this morning.
Glad to be here.
Good morning, Matt.
So seriously, minus 45 in Chicago, is that not a commentary or what?
I don't even know where to begin. I did hell freeze over? Because it would appear it did.
To watch these CNN news commentators try to explain this away and make sense of it and avoid as hard as they can this agenda-driven reality that's smacking them in the face just makes me smile.
I mean, doesn't it? I'm gonna get
smile lines, wrinkles, smile.
They're literally being openly mocked by nature. I mean, is
oh, what do you do?
You know, the bigger concern, guys, though, in all seriousness, is that deep freeze down south and what impact that will have on our low-income families when it comes to buying produce and buying fresh fruit in the grocery store. I think that it's something we got to watch, and hopefully those farmers and ranchers down there make it through okay, and our families at home will still be able to get that wonderful U.S. product in the grocery store.
Yeah, our warm water ports are suffering pretty significantly, Louisiana, and that is a very good point. On a kind of separate note, I was pretty upset to see in the paper this morning that, I mean, the NSA can mess around with our phones and our emails, can mess around with our texts, what we buy. But seriously, going after Angry Birds, Dave?
They're killing me. I love me some Angry Birds. You know, you guys know that when we're got the downtime on the floor, it's a mindless release from all the different stresses. And now I've got the NSA watching me play Angry Birds.
I said last week, when you think about the NSA and you hear or you have ever said, well, if you're not doing anything wrong, you have nothing to be worried about. And I said, imagine them coming into your house, taking a copy of every scrap of paper in your house, taking copies of the photos on your wall, downloading all of your electronic devices right in front of you in your house. You would lose your mind and demand a warrant. But because it's out there in the ether, so to speak, and we don't see it happening, we think it's okay, and we say things like, well, if you're not doing anything wrong. They're downloading metadata from people who play Angry Birds and every other app you've ever downloaded. This is only happening because people in elected office are allowing it to happen. Period. End of story.
How many Wahhabi jihadists are playing Angry Birds? I mean, that's ostensibly the reason they're doing that, right? But how many are honestly playing Angry Birds?
Yeah, sitting in the cave, playing me some Angry Birds.
No, they're working on eye-hand coordination is what they're doing, fellas.
With finger swipes and Angry Birds. Just incredible where we're at in this country. You've got nothing to worry about if you're playing Angry Birds, or maybe you do now. Incredible. Well, we have this gun hearing today on I-594. A lot of problems with the initiative, but most of all, they're really trying to make this an emotional issue and take the facts out of it, take the law out of it, just make this an emotional issue. It's a typical tactic down here in Olympia. We see it all the time. But describe it for the listeners, what actually they're trying to do with this initiative, Dave.
Well, you hit it right on the nose. It's make it an emotional issue. Bring former Congresswoman Gabby Giffords in to testify in favor of the bill. Let's just make it theater. That's exactly what they're doing. You know, what's been kind of lost this year is what happened last year with 1588 and the fact that the governor was giving out personal cell phone cell numbers of our members to Congresswoman Giffords to have her call them and beg for them to move forward with this important gun legislation. It's all part of to further the agenda for gun control, disarm society. It's nothing more than theatrics, and let's get done with it and move on.
And we get a lot of this coming from out of state money too, and a continued push to take away our guns. Why take away our guns, Jason?
It's a very good question. These people love state control. They believe that government has the right answer 100% of the time, and really is the only entity. They think it's a being, godlike being, quite honestly, that has the right answer and can do the right thing all of the time. Look, you know, the chair of the committee that's giving this a hearing last year ran a bill to tax firearms at the retail sale, to put another tax on top of the retail sales tax of $25 and 1 cent per round of ammunition. So, you know, I am so tired of being on the defensive, which is why we at the Freedom Agenda have gone on the offensive. We have more standing legally, constitutionally, to go on the offensive and expand gun rights than these people have ever had or will ever have to impose gun control and take those God-given rights protected by our constitutions away.
Well, the ability to defend yourself, as we actually talked about on the Ben Shapiro show the other day, on one of the bills that we introduced, is a basic necessity like food or water, and therefore it should be exempt from the sales tax. In other words, firearms and ammunition should be exempt from the sales tax.
Absolutely. That's all that bill does. It exempts the sale of firearms and ammunition components from the sales tax. And you know what? This is making self-defense affordable for those who can least afford it. It's making it affordable. It's affordable self-defense, if you will. And again, we need to go on the offense with bills like this over and over and over again because we actually have standing to make these arguments. They do not.
And when you do that, what happens? You start looking for new businesses. And that's exactly what's happened now with 591 and 594. Your listeners know, Matt, the three of us went down to Utah last year in support of Mike Lee at his rally, and we met a gentleman by the name of Nick Moyes, who owns the Utah Gun Exchange. Well, in response to the out-of-state funding that's coming in support of gun control, he has now opened the Washington Gun Exchange, which is a free market platform for gun sales between private owners. This is when you go on the offensive, when you put bills forward that openly demonstrate that we will not negotiate and we will not compromise on the Second Amendment, businesses come to Washington.
And On top of that, we have to highlight the fact that I-594 is actually a tax generator. It actually would apply the use tax, not the sales tax, but the use tax, which is in place of the sales tax, on millions of transfers of firearms inside Washington State, at least the way we read it. It would literally generate millions of dollars potentially in tax revenue. This is not about safety. It's about generating money.
And let's just go back to the – you're absolutely right. And let's just go back to the tried and true cliche. Criminals don't obey the law by definition. You know, one of the things that concerns me most, Matt, is that our police chiefs and sheriffs through the Washington Association of Sheriffs and Police Chiefs supported 1588 last year. And it is my sincere hope that they have been dissuaded through the phone calls and emails they've been receiving that they will not testify in support this year. But folks, I'm here to tell you, when you are talking to your police chiefs and your sheriffs, ask them yes or no questions. I support the Second Amendment is not good enough. Do you support universal background checks in the form of I-594? Do you support any further gun control? Do you support the expansion of gun rights under the U.S. and state constitutions? Ask them yes or no questions. Hold them accountable, because through these little groups down here, they are able to support these things and never have to do it personally.
At the national level, we've seen a movement for mental health checks, especially when it comes to our veterans coming home. And at least on a periphery discussion of, well, maybe we should, you know, if they have PTSD, for example, maybe we should limit their rights. That's one of the concerning parts that's really not being discussed in 594. The title of it is Criminal and Public Safety Background Checks. Public safety is not defined. It allows the agency to write rules to implement that. Is, in my opinion, this is a backdoor attempt in Washington State to suddenly claim that our veterans who may be suffering some PTSD, as one example, to deny them their right to keep and bear arms.
And bona fide gift is also not defined in that bill very well at all. And there's something very interesting, too, kind of a backdoor way to effectively stop private firearms transfers completely across the board, where you have used firearms that, at least the way that I'm reading it and the way that many other lawyers are reading it, would literally require a 30-day wait period between private transfers of firearms. Now, private transfer of firearm, if it's not a gift for Christmas or your birthday, could be between a father and a daughter. It could be between a mother and a son. And in fact, in Spokane, we had Sandra Mize, a grandmother of 10 grandkids, who had her father give her a gun 30 years ago because she lived in a neighborhood where her father thought she needed protection, and 30 years later, somebody tries to break into her house, a violent criminal who literally fought with the police after she had held him at gunpoint until the police got there, and she said, hey, look, that gun saved my life, but she could potentially be a criminal under this bill. A criminal just because her dad gave her a gun to protect her. That's pretty incredible, isn't it?
This initiative, these bills like it, the people who front them, the bottom line is the only thing this does is puts a chilling effect on the right to keep and bear arms. That's all it does. Criminals will continue to be criminals. They will continue to break the law. Prosecutors will continue to not prosecute those gun offenses because, well, we don't have enough resources or we don't have enough time. So rather than prosecute, we add another law that binds the hands of law-abiding citizens. This is nonsense, and I'll speak out vociferously against every one of these things.
Mark my words, and you heard it here first. This 30-day wait for private sales, if 594 passes, next year there will be a bill introduced within the first week that says, well, now we got to extend that 30-day wait to sale it at a dealer, because we've got to be consistent.
Right, effectively banning the private transfer and sales of firearms, but also, under current law in this state, when you need a firearm the most to protect you in an emergency, for example, you may not actually have that right.
That's exactly right. In fact, we've run two different bills to address that. Under state law right now, a governor can, during the course of declaring an emergency, he can limit the transport of firearms from your house or from your business. You know, we had it last year as part of 1771. The Firearms Freedom Act. Jason, you've got it this year in one of your bills as well.
That's right. I mean, think about that for a second. When you need a firearm most, it can be, its use and transport can be prohibited by the governor under a declared state of emergency. That's House Bill 2551, folks. It simply protects the constitutionally guaranteed right to the lawful possession of firearms during an emergency. Think about when you need your firearm, when things go sideways, when things are chaotic, when you need to protect yourself, your family, your house, your place of business, and that can be taken from you under current state law by one person, the governor.
And make no mistake about it, this is not about controlling guns. It is, in the end, about controlling people. Well, this is Matt Shea with Representatives Jason Overstreet and Dave Taylor on Battlefront. Well, let's move from the ridiculous gun control to the absurd, which is banning incandescent light bulbs, which everybody, there was a run on light bulbs at the store, at least in Spokane Valley. Why ban incandescent light bulbs? That's incredible. And what's the solution?
Well, the federal government has decided that incandescent light bulbs are inefficient, and, well, they know best because they love central planning. And so over time, they've instituted a light bulb ban. You know, we introduced that bill to say if that bulb is manufactured and used in Washington state, then let the federal government ban away. This is another 10th Amendment issue, and we're just going to continue to bring these that says, look, if these things aren't involved in interstate commerce, the federal government, as one good senator said to the court a couple of weeks ago, go pound sand. We want to make light bulbs here, we want to sell them here, and we want to use them here. And oh, by the way, we don't want to use those dirty, dangerous, toxic mercury light bulbs that in the Environment Committee right now, gentlemen, is a bill to tax you at the retail sale so that they can recycle and clean up those dangerous, deadly, toxic light bulbs. So not only are the incandescents being banned, you're now going to be taxed at the counter when you go buy the bulbs that they want you to buy.
Safe, effective, energy efficient light bulbs being banned to be replaced by toxic, mercury laden, more expensive alternative. That is government right there.
We are from the government and we're here to help.
Trust us. There was the Department of Ecology's response to your question in that committee to me was priceless. You asked the question, what am I supposed to say to my constituents when I go home? Share. I think it's priceless. You got to share that response with the listeners.
Well, we had the light bulb industry lobbyist and the Department of Ecology sitting in front of us. And I said, please, either one of you, I said, please explain to me how I go home and explain to my constituents that not only is their light bulb choice being mandated, but now they're being taxed for that mandated bulb that they have to buy. Then the Department of Ecology literally looked at me and said, well, they last longer, they're better quality, they offer a better light, and well, we think your constituents will appreciate them. And essentially the lobbyist for the light bulb industry did the same thing. And by the way, he also admitted that, yes, it was a tax because they're trying to call it a fee. It's a tax at the retail sale for you to clean up their toxic mess that was mandated by the federal government.
LED light bulbs are actually starting to gain traction because of this. But the point is, why not let the market do it? A lot of these manufacturers were already going to LED. They completely had skipped these fluorescent light bulbs because they knew that there was no safe way to dispose of them.
Well, you make the point. Let the marketplace decide, and people are going to go to the best, most cost-efficient product, which, by the way, is the incandescent light bulb, which the central planners in government have decided are no longer okay for you to purchase. As a matter of fact, illegal.
Affordable self-defense, affordable light.
So, we're going to have to issue candles here pretty soon because that's the only thing left.
Well, back to global warming, Dave.
Back to global warming. Well, let's talk about food freedom, which has kind of flown a little bit under the radar. Jason, you actually had a pretty big step forward. Finally, that food freedom bill that you had got unbottled from committee and moved out.
That's right. House Bill 1135. We were seeking to eliminate the arbitrary income cap on there. Things move slow in government. So what we were able to negotiate out of committee was taking it from a $15,000 income limit to 25. I am certainly not happy with that. I am happy that the bill's moving. We also have a counterpart in the Senate, a counterpart bill in the Senate that's moving. So both of those bills have now moved out of committee, and we are on the march to allow the cottage food industry to begin to prosper. We need to eliminate that cap altogether. But the bureaucrats and the politicians in Olympia, they are afraid of their shadows much of the time. And so this is a step-by-step-by-step process. And we are just thankful that these things are headed to the floors.
We also have a pass-through food bill, House Bill 1827, in regards to what I think is the future of food delivery. And that is very simply ordering on the internet and then having it processed, packaged, inspected at the farm, and then shipped directly to your table. It cuts out a ton of middle cost and effort, but more importantly, it actually allows for those that are less fortunate to buy good quality food for much, much cheaper. And getting back to global warming, it saves on greenhouse gases because you don't have all the transport costs.
People want to know where their food comes from. I mean, we've seen it in this state, whether it relates to GMO or your farmers markets. People want to know, number one, where their food comes from and what's in it. What better way than promoting cottage food industries or your local producer who's getting the inspection done? We know it's safe and it's shipping directly to the consumer. This is a great opportunity not only for our low-income families to provide to purchase healthy food that they know where it comes from, but to our local farm families, that now there's a new market that they can get into, really promoting their own product safely and providing that quality product to the consumer.
A true bipartisan issue.
Matt, my wife has actually ordered from, and I have picked up from, the business that you are talking about. And you want to talk about marketplace efficiency. It was set up in a church parking lot. They had it all coned. They had multiple people pointing and directing. Someone came to your car before you got to the actual food drop-off to say, where do you want it? So if we need to put anything down or protect your car, whatever. You got there. They knew your name, your order. It was in your car. You didn't even have to take your seatbelt off. That line kept moving. And another benefit to businesses like this is that they tend to be cheaper, and they're selling in bulk. So, Matt, if you want to, when we talk about the poor, people with lower incomes, like we did, we bought with multiple families. So now you're talking about economies of scale. These businesses are nothing but good for the marketplace and for the individual.
And the typical bureaucrat contention and objection to this whole business was, we want to have you inspected in every single county you pass through, even though these are sealed products inspected at the processing. These are USDA inspected. And they're not stopping and delivering in that county. They still wanted to inspect them and charge them whatever exorbitant fee the health department could, so that particular health department could potentially make money.
That's exactly right. They don't do that for other industries. They don't do that for mega agribusiness. When you go down to the local butcher place, like in Toppenish, we've got Washington Beef. They're shipping millions of pounds of meat out every single day. That's pre-wrapped, primal cut, sealed, inspected, the works. They're not stopping those trucks every place they stop to inspect it. It's not needed. If it was needed, they would already be doing it.
It's similar to FedEx or UPS.
Right.
It's just a new idea, a new market, where you order on the internet and efficiently take it from farm to table.
I love the marketplace. Unfortunately, this is generally government's response. Well, we've never seen this model. We don't. And they start to lose their minds. The quality of those products that I just said that I picked up was, quite honestly, surpassed a grocery store. It was colder. It was packaged more efficiently. Like you said, Matt, stamped, safe, the whole thing. This is a red herring. And based on what Dave said, it almost sounds like might makes right.
It almost sounds like that. And thank God the actual committee chairman is on our side on this issue and is going to help us work to get that out of committee. In the last couple minutes, let's touch on hemp, talking about a new agriculture marketplace. Dave Taylor, hemp is, and we've talked about it a lot on the show, but we need to touch on it again. It is an important issue, industrial hemp, for Washington State.
There's no doubt. It's interesting. I sit on general government appropriation subcommittee, and the chair of that, pretty much every time I see him, I ask him, are we moving the hemp bill today? Are we going to go ahead and get that done? there's this fear in Olympia that somehow hemp and marijuana are going to be misunderstood and they're going to be confused. And we've worked diligently to help them understand the difference between the two. Hemp, what an incredible, the potential there, incredible product grown locally, sisal, clothing, hempcrete for green building standards, which coincidentally is a higher insulation value. So you're actually building a more energy efficient house. It's a great product. It's another alternative to our local farmers, so they can do crop rotation, replenish the soils, and really create a whole new industry in Washington State.
And again, the marketplace.
Absolutely.
Well, for all the listeners out there, you heard at the beginning of the show where we talked about the NSA and Angry Birds, and I just want to get back to that real quick. Any final thoughts on that, Dave Taylor? Because, you know, seriously, just because the birds are angry doesn't mean they're terrorists, right?
That's right. They're just misunderstood. Now, you know, here's our response. House Bill 2272. We're still working hard to get that bill a hearing, the Fourth Amendment Protection Act, which would eliminate state and local jurisdictions from participating with NSA surveillance without the benefit of a warrant. It would also stop your private corporations from doing the same. We've been getting incredible feedback. I don't know how many national stories we've had. There's an online petition that reached 15,000 signatures from all over the country. We saw a similar bill almost verbatim dropped, I believe, in Tennessee. This is picking up steam. If it doesn't pass here, somebody else will do it, and we'll work it again next year.
10 seconds, Jason, on the Angry Birds controversy.
The NSA is gathering metadata from your Angry Birds app because your elected officials are allowing it. Call them and tell them to stand up and use their voice.
And one of the ways you can learn more about what we're doing over here in Olympia is to go to Freedom Agenda Washington on Facebook, like the Facebook page, share it with your friends and family. We've had a huge surge. Thank you for everybody out there that is paying attention. And Jason and Dave, thank you for joining me once again on Battlefront this morning. Remember to pray for a revival of repentance, and remember to do everything you can to defend freedom locally. And please, just start by doing something easy, and that's just liking Freedom Agenda Washington on Facebook. May God bless all of you. And may he make this generation the greatest one.